everyone. Welcome to episode 26 of Sean Hammer. Well, today is going to be a big random episode, and we're going to be talking about a little bit of the Warhammer 8th edition rumors. We're going to be talking about what I've been doing for the last couple weeks in Warhammer and what I haven't been doing in the game as well. So first of all, what have I been doing this week? Well, for Warhammer, I haven't been doing much. I picked up the newest issue of White Dwarf, issue 364, May 2010, and I like to call this episode Waste Dwarf. I don't really feel that this White Dwarf is really worth the money for anyone. It's got a lot of Lord of the Rings in it, which isn't bad. If you're a big Lord of the Rings player, it's a kind of nice little White Dwarf, I guess. But well, we'll skip all past that because I'm not fully into the Lord of the Rings yet. And we'll get into all that in a minute. Well, I ordered some Malifaux stuff. Mine and my wife's came this week. She got the Ice Witches group, and I got the Ortegas. Looking forward to learning Malifaux completely and actually giving it a try. It looks like a very, very fun game. Picked up a deck of cards and everything, and we'll be getting going on that pretty soon. Painted up some Treekin, and my wife is actually painting up my Tree Man, and she's doing a fantastic job. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to actually end up having my 1,250-point army painted up pretty good. Pretty quick, actually. So let's go ahead and go with the White Dwarf. Like I said, a good half of it is based around Lord of the Rings. Not too bad. Then we got the whole Green Tide thing, which for Orcs and Goblins for Warhammer Fantasy. It's not very big Green Tide-ish, but it does show you the new Orc Boar Boys. It's got the little breakdown of the pits that come in the pack of the Orc Boar Boys. I guess the plastic set was promised or long-awaited for the Orcs and Goblin players. And actually, there is some new River Trolls out, and they are pretty cool models. And I don't know. Might end up painting up some and putting them on eBay. Have no idea, but they look pretty snazzy. Next up, we just shows it. Anyway, next up we have the Kraken's Jaws. It's a 40k little scenario using the Army Battle Missions book using Tyranids versus Blood Angels. We have the whole newest section of Warhammer Tactics called Wear and Tear. It goes through a couple of things. Jervis Johnson Thunderbearer, which is a little, yeah. Then we got the Golden Demon painting masters at the Golden Demon. Always nice to look at the Golden Demon entries in the White Dwarfs. Pretty neat to go through and look, get some ideas, different things you might want to do for your army and such. They go through painting a Black Orc Big Boss, a little heavy metal painting guide onto that. It is okay. It's not as nice as the Blood Angels one in the last episode. Issue White Dwarf we went over, but it's not bad at all. And in of it, we have A World of Chaos, A Time for Heroes, and Age of War. The new Warhammer in July, folks. We're going to go over a little bit of the rumors of the new army book here. Not the army book, but the actual rule book here in a moment. And that's it for what we got for White Dwarf. Kind of a little bit of a disappointment this month. Not if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, but if you're a Warhammer player, it could be better. Or even a 40k player. It'd be a lot better, actually. So let's go ahead and talk about some Warhammer rumors. Nothing's concrete. Nothing's set in stone yet. But we have some rumors that have been floating around that are the same through different podcasts and different forum chats and everything. And basically what we're looking at is some changes for the Warhammer 8th edition core rulebook. First one is, we have army construction is back to moving to percentages. For those who haven't played Warhammer before, the percentages, basically you had like 25% characters, 25% core, 25% up to those maximum amount. I don't know how that's going to go in, if we're still going to have the army listings of what you have, how many core, how many you have to have, how many special you're allowed to have, and such like that. We'll see. We have the new rule, which keeps popping up, called the Strength and Depth. Or Stepping Up. Models may fight in two ranks, and that's just not spears, that's heavy models. We have a crush attack for larger creatures. Kind of reminds me of Monstrous Creature rules for 40K. The 40mm models having three models wide to make the rings, which actually makes a lot of sense considering you take in, say, Trolls or Ogre Kingdoms. We have a multiple objective-driven scenarios in the rulebook. That's another rumor. We have for Magic Phase, power dice aren't generated by the number of spellcaster. They're saying that the pool is decided by randomly rolling 2d6, and magic users add their magic level to the total rolled. All wizards have the chance of generating more power dice. All missile weapons fire in two ranks, not just high elves, and you will not gain an extra rank when shooting from hills. And this is boo. This next one is auto breaking from fear or terror is gone. I'm really disappointed about this, boys and girls. For when I play VC, and a lot of people say, "Oh, Crimea River plays vampire counts," but a skeleton and a zombie, not that good. And you really got to rely on the auto breaking to actually work in your favor. Plus, with the whole thing of insane courage, you'll be always being able to roll ones to stay. They're taking care of it. They're removing it. And from what I hear is, I think fear, you get a +1 to your combat resolution. And for terror, you get a +2. It's pretty shabby, I think. And what I don't get is the last rumor here in this little block is combats are decided strictly on initiative order. And I think that's hopefully that's not very good. And well, further on it says categories for core, special, rare are remaining. There may be some to prevent spamming, and there will be a system-wide errata to clear up issues for each army. Movement, we have a rumor there for standard movement. Measures the distance for the first moving models you perform, so that way you don't have to take out the whole thing for wheeling and such. It makes movement a little bit more easier. Charging, an added bonus of getting extra D6 or D3 inches of movement to your movement range, presumably that the D6 or D3 is added by the category of the warrior, whether it's being infantry or cavalry. Let's see, marching is nothing new, it's normal. We have a rumor around that's just total speculation right now. All infantry and cavalry models, smaller and ogre size, okay, they have a non-magical save of 3 or better, cannot march move. Heavy armor and shield will allow you to march as a +1. The hand weapon shield is only in combat. Also states that Bretonian dwarfs will be exempt. I don't know if this one's true, but that's what we got here so far on that. Let's see, we have a double 6 equals a miscast confirmed. When you're making miscasts, it's much more devastating. Spells can be chosen, not rolled for. I'm just skimming through all these, putting up the ones that catch my eyes, folks. This is not complete list of rumors for the new 8th edition, so excuse me if I missed a few. Armor save modifiers. Fewer armor save modifiers is the rumor. We have a horde rule, which is gives you a +10 wide. The unit attacks with one rank more than normal. That's for horde. Stubborn, if you're only engaged in the front and have more ranks than the opponent, you are stubborn. Rank bonus is unchanged. One save to ruin them all, that's what it says. And this takes us to about probably how 40K is handled, actually. For those that that play 40K, you know you get a armor save, and you get a ward save. And I'm pretty sure that's exactly what we're looking for here in 8th edition Warhammer, instead of having a save, a ward save. I don't know how regeneration is going to be worked, because it's not really a save, but we'll see. One of the rumors that is confirmed here on the bottom is striking in initiative order. Combat will always strictly be resolved in initiative order. That's bullcrap. What about charging? I don't get it. Chariots, your strength 7 auto kill is gone. Great weapons always strike last. This overrides any army book rules. That's I don't know. We'll see where that goes. Let's see. We have always strike first. Models with the great weapons will always strike last, regardless of the always strike first rule. They're supposed to change the always strike first rule to compensate the high elves a bit, but not sure what yet. So, we'll see. We go into terrain, and that's about it for what I'm going to read off for special rules. I mean, for rumors, this episode of... So what we're looking at is a definite change in the way that we know how to play Warhammer right now as it speaks. A couple of the rules will make it a little bit simpler. A couple of the rules will take a little bit more to get handle of, and I'll probably piss off quite a bit of people. Hopefully in long run, it will be okay to go around. Guess we don't know until we have the actual rule book in our hands and see exactly which way to go with it. So that's pretty much it for Warhammer 8th Edition rumors. We're going to take a break here in a minute. We'll finish up with some just randomness. We'll talk about things and just make it up as we go along, I guess.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Let's start off with the second half and let's talk about small games. What that means is not your typical size of 40K or the size of Warhammer and, what makes them so appealing to certain people and what makes them not. First, let's start off with 40K. What I mean by small games there is your standard patrol mission. I forget what White Dwarf can be brought found in, but it basically you take about... I like to go about 500 points in it. You make a small little patrol, and you do get out on a little 4x4 table. You're not using any lord-type characters or any tanks with a combined front side and rear armor, not front side, side rear of 33. And you just duke it out, little game of 500 points and against a fellow opponent. And just have a quick little duel. A lot of people call it lunch hammer. They don't like it. Some people don't like it. They can't throw some tanks out there. But it's a great start. And that's what I want to say. Is that small game for Warhammer 40K at 500 points allows you to try a new army if you've always want to try something. Or... even start playing the game if you haven't already, actually. With a new Blood Angel Codex, it's kind of rough because one of the rules for the patrol mission is you can't have any model with a 2+ or better armor save. So you can't use your brand new shiny Sanguinary Guard. But it allows you to try different aspects of it. Like, say, a couple years back, I decided to do Tau. I want to try Tau. So I did a little patrol mission. The local hobby store at the time had a patrol mission tourney. And so I tried Tau. I did 500 points of Tau. Had a good old time. Easy to paint. Well, not easy to paint, but actually quick to paint, considering it's only 500 points. Certain armies go a lot quicker than others. And it gives you a nice little taste for the game. Also gives you a little... I buy too much stuff. And I buy what I like to look at, and the new, not really the new power stuff, but it's always nice to try new stuff here and there. And for fantasy, I believe that 1250 points is a fantastic start for fantasy army. I have no idea how it's going to actually be affected by Warhammer 8th edition, but I went to a hobby store down the city from me in Flint, and I played in a 1250 point Warhammer Fantasy Battle Tournament. Using the standard, all the rules that you had to use for your army. No special unit sizes or anything like that. No lords. I believe you had 3 specials, 1 rare, 2+ core. Again, it is a beautiful start. as you've heard earlier on a episode that I've done, that I've done a Plutonian army at 1,250 points. And it's a nice starting point for army. It allows you to play around with different aspects of the army that you could have. And it doesn't bog you down with lower level characters or a lot of rares. It brings the game back to more of the fundamentals of troop combat and maxing out your army size for the points that you're given. Matter of fact, actually, I've done a Dark Elf army list at 1250. I've done a Bretonian, a Wood Elf, and I've tried my Dog's War at 1250. I do have more Dog's War than that, but they were fun too. And I'd just like to say, if anyone hasn't tried these small games and you're used to playing like 3,000 points of 40k, which are fun too, or 3,000 up of fantasy, which are very fantastic as well, just try something new. Pick up a new army. I know it's a rough time out there right now, and a lot of people are actually struggling for cash, and I'm telling you to go buy a new army, but it's really not that bad to spend. You can really maximize, I don't know really how to put it, but you can really pick up an army for not too bad. I think I picked up my Wood Elf army for under $150. I mean, that may seem like a lot, but I also do a lot of different extra activities, such as paintball and different things like that, that just cost just as much. So I'm going to give it a whirl. I mean, go ahead and pick up a new army and, try one of these small games out. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm doing a patrol mission tournament coming up, I think, maybe in June. End of this month, maybe, at Cool City Games. And that's going to be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, won't be playing in it because I'm going to be running it. So it'll be fun for a lot of people. But I'd just like to see a large group of people get together and play some Warhammer. And speaking of small games, I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, Malifaux. If you are looking for a unique game that, like I said, I have no idea how it plays, but I've heard nothing but good about this game. I picked up the rule book. I read the rules. I'm going to go through them again, play test a few games, start painting up my little team. Like I mentioned before, I have the Ortegas, and my wife picked up the Arcanus, the Cult of December, I think is the name of it. It's a neat little board game. Doesn't use any dice, and uses playing cards. And you can use a standard playing card deck, or you can actually buy the Malifaux decks, which I did because it just makes sense. You can cool artwork on them and such. And we're gonna give it a whirl. I think standard board size is gonna make something around a 3x3. Nice little. It's based in kind of like a steampunk western theme. And I've been talking with a couple of my listeners, and I've seen some great photos and sights from a couple of you, and I'm looking really forward to actually getting going in this game, and I hope it actually picks up here in Port Huron. It'd be really nice to actually see it kick off and everything like that. So, just a little heads up that this podcast actually went from a Warhammer everything related to a whatever Sean is playing at the time podcast. And like I've mentioned before in the earlier episodes, I like Star Wars. I've been playing Star Wars miniature and hate to see it go, and I just do random things and I play them. Sorry this show hasn't had too much of a focus. I just wanted to throw it out, let you guys know what's going on in hobby. I've been scoping out some Green Knight rumors, and this is very exciting so far, is what I can see. Is they pulled all the Green Knight models off the shelves. I've heard some they've recalled the Sisters Battle. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know the Green Knights are. And there's talk about them getting a new codex, and even the Stormraven being a second wave release for the Green Knights. And the Stormraven's that awesome flying beast that I've told you about, and for the Blood Angels. So we got that to look forward to. I just recently celebrated a birthday as well. Ripe old age of 36, and here I am. Anyway, I got some Black Library books, and I'll have a show about Black Library in a bit, and talking about some of the authors and some of the book series out there. And if you know, we'll just wait until that show, and we'll go on to that. I did pick up the Sons of Prospero, Redemption Corps, and the second Nagash book by Mike Lee. My wife picked them up and my kids for my birthday. And look, can't wait to get started into those. We're going to conclude this episode with basically that. We have our 40K, Art of Warhammer 40K, to finish off for next episode. We're probably going to go into the assault phase. So it probably will be next episode. We're going to finish off that little series. We're not going to worry about doing anything for Warhammer until 8th edition comes out. I know I have had some emails about that, a noob's guide or such for Warhammer, which is in the mix, is in the works. But let's wait until we get the new edition. No sense double repeating ourselves there, confusing everybody. And that's about it. If you wish to get a hold of me, please. I accept emails at SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. You can follow me on Twitter. You can join as a friend on my battalion. Look for Sean Hammer on that. And please, I mean, if you feel up to it, and I appreciate it if you could, please leave an iTunes review. And we're going to call that today's show for now. I know it really wasn't that jam-packed informative, but promise to do better in the next one. And I have a Dreadnought to give away. I'm going to go ahead and offer a Dreadnought contest. And this will be the Dreadnought from the Assault on Black Reach. I will go ahead and paint it up in your army colors or your chapter colors as well. Or if you wish to have it primered white, that'd be fine. It has a close combat weapon and a multi-melta. All you have to do to win this fine Dreadnought is actually send a email to SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. Give me a few ideas like you that you'd like to see in the show. Go ahead and paste that and leave an iTunes review. And that'll qualify you for the drawing. I'm probably going to take this all the way up until about June, let's say 12th. And I'll go ahead and pick a winner from the iTunes reviews and the emails I receive. Remember, you have to send an iTunes review and an email with show ideas to SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. Now, if you've already listed an iTunes review, go ahead and just send me the email, and I'll count your iTunes review as part of that as well. And I'll go ahead and pick at random the lucky winner, and I'll get a hold of you when that goes through. Let you know, ask you what chapter you wish to have your Dreadnought painted, and hopefully you'll enjoy. And until next time, remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.